everybody. Welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Today is going to be the fourth episode in our Missions That Matter series, where we cover charitable organizations that do good work with pop culture. As always, I'm your host, Kate. I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And our special guest of the evening, Latrell. How's it going?
Hi, how are you?
And for the listeners out there, would you like to tell them exactly who we're talking to today?
Okay. So my name's Latrell. I'm with the 501st Legion. I'm part of Star Garrison, which is all of the state of Texas. And then more specifically, the West Texas Squad.
Do you all is it cosplay, technically? Or do you all consider it something else?
That's kind of an interesting story, because some people consider it cosplay. Some of the other members don't like to say it's that. I really don't care if you call it cosplay, to be honest. It's just some people think it's either above it. Because, you know, cosplay can range from wearing a cardboard box versus to something very intricate and large. So it's really just subjective to whoever, I think.
Okay. So I guess, how do I ask this question? I want to know who and or what you dress up as.
So I have two costumes right now. One is the regular stormtrooper from A New Hope, so the first Star Wars movie. And then my other one is a ARC trooper, which actually comes from a comic book in the expanded universe.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm asking real quick. How long did it take you to make both of those?
The stormtrooper took, I want to say, about a month, you know, with life, you know, right, work and everything else. So just your free time. So about a month. The clone trooper, on the other hand, took me about a good 6 months.
Nice.
Just because of how you put it together is different from a stormtrooper. And then just gathering the materials takes longer because there's less makers for them. So stormtroopers, there's more of us, there's more makers, it's more generic. As for my ARC trooper, there's more specific things that are just for that one. So it takes longer to do.
Okay.
Awesome. And so what goes into the costumes? Do you have them? Are they all regulated?
Yes. So the 501st Legion has what's called CRLs, or their costume references. So even if you go on our website, which on 501st.com, you can go into the CRLs, and it'll list all the approved costumes we have, ranging from stormtroopers to Darth Vader, you know, pilots from the prequel series, the original trilogy, even the new ones, so... And it lists all the specifics as seen on camera and everything else.
So, the big question here is why and how was the 501st founded? And what exactly is the mission of the 501st?
So, for the basic founding of the 501st, started with a gentleman named Albin Johnson, who's from South Carolina. And he basically just wanted some way for people to come together with their homemade Star Wars costumes and basically just, you know, share the love of Star Wars and everything. That's how it started out. So it wasn't this big charitable organization that it is now. Before, it was just a basic costuming group that just basically over time grew larger and larger, which implemented the creation of garrisons and outposts and squads and everything else to help keep it organized.
And so what's its mission now? Like, what does it look like now for you guys? Like, what's something that you do?
Well, how I always perceive is we use Star Wars to, you know, basically generate charity for anything. So people request us, say we could do an event that's for cancer research. And people will ask us to come to just help with turnout and everything and help with donations. Just because sometimes when you see Star Wars characters, people freak out immediately. And it just helps with people willing to give. Essentially. So like for instance, one time me and a friend of mine, she does a scout trooper, we did the Salvation Army, you know, where they ring the bells and everything.
Yeah.
And we did it in front of a Walmart, and everybody was happy because they had gotten more money in that small time period that we were there than they had like throughout the entire week.
Oh wow.
So it was that in itself, I think it helps out just being able to dress up like that.
Awesome. So I guess ultimately, what makes you guys different than other organizations that do charitable work?
Well, I think what's different for about us is we don't actually accept any money. we don't handle any money specifically, mostly because, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm, it's their property, their rights. So if we were to take money, it's like we're making money off of their product. So how it would work if some organization wants to donate money, or somebody wants to donate money to an organization, they donate the money, they give that organization the money, but they do it on behalf of us.
Oh, okay.
So they'll list when they donated that it's on behalf of the 501st Legion. And then we just get like a memo that states that this amount of money was donated to here. And then we just tally it up at the end of each year.
So are there any set programs that you all run, like recurring events that you all have?
Not really. We, for right now, we're obviously busy because all the Star Wars movies are coming out. So that's like a regular thing for us right now. So when Force Awakens came out, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. So we'll be at movie theaters and everything, you know, just helping promote the movie and just having fun with all the fans and everything like that. But as far as like set events, it's more we're requested for things and we go out. So for instance, here in El Paso, we have the, they have May the 4th, they do with the zoo where they show Star Wars movies. And this, we did it last year, and then we've already, they've already asked us to do it again next year. So that for sure, I know that we have, it'll probably be a reoccurring event for who knows how long. But beyond that, we don't have any set events because people request us and then we go.
Okay. What was there, is there like one event or one, I guess one charitable thing that you all, that you've done since you've been with the 501st that, that really, I don't know, what's your best moment in your armor?
For me, I would say is we've gone to the El Paso Children's Hospital. That's probably one of the bigger ones that I think is, I'm glad I'm wearing a helmet because I'd probably be crying because there was a little, a girl, she was too sick to come out of her room and we couldn't go in to see her. But then we had, we like waved from the doorway and said hello. But then we went around the hospital around the floor and then she was there and then she had gotten up out of the room and then actually came back again to take an actual picture with us and say hello. Like, it had motivated her that much to get out of bed to actually say hello. And then there was another one where a boy hadn't, he hadn't spoken to anyone except his parents, hadn't smiled, was nothing. But then when we showed up, he was actually, you know, smiling and having fun for the first time and who knows how long. So that's one of the reasons why also we enjoy it a lot is because it brightens kids' days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're fortunate enough to be able to just, you know, dress up and have fun with it, but some kids lose their, you know, childhoods because they're in the hospital or they're facing something else. So for me, it's always whenever we visit the children's hospital.
That's amazing. I'd be crying like a baby. Okay, yeah. So what are your upcoming events? Because I'm guessing anything around the premiere of Star Wars is going to be huge. So what do you have coming up next? Yes,
well, before the premiere comes out, on the 2nd of December, they have the light parade that's downtown. That's one thing that some of our guys will be there for that too. So we've never done a parade before, so I know they're super excited about that. We tried to go for the Thanksgiving parade, but the theme didn't really work well with Star Wars, so we opted against it. And then later on, Socorro Independent School District on the 9th is having a Comic-Con to promote like literacy and reading and everything. So they asked us if we could go help out, you know, have fun with the kids and everything like that. The following week, right before the movie comes out first, NMSU is having like a Star Wars night for their basketball team. So folks in Cruces and then us here, we're going to drive out to Cruces and, you know, be a part of that. So I'm excited for it. I've never done a sporting event, so I'm curious how that's going to go. Oh, gosh.
Vader Duncan.
I'll fall and not get up. And then the Thursday when the movie comes out, we actually help raise money for a charity which is called Movies for Kids. So basically what they do is they provide movie tickets for movies like Thor, Wonder Woman, Star Wars for orphan kids and underprivileged kids. So ones that are, you know, just unable to buy their own tickets to see these movies, we help raise money for that. And then we actually have the screening that Thursday where they actually rent out two whole theaters just for that.
Aww.
So
that's awesome.
And then that point forward, you know, it's just we're going to be at Premiere, we're going to be at Alamo Drafthouse, you know, Premiere weekend. And then on Friday, Dave and Buster's is having like a Star Wars themed party. So we'll be there for that also. You know, we wish we could be at Cinemark more. So we just have the Movies for Kids event and that's it. But Cinemark has more stricter on costuming and having costumes at their theaters, you know, given things that have happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So we don't go to them as much. But I mean, if sometimes we'll be outside, but I don't think we have anything planned for Cinemark right now, I'm not mistaken. But yes, mostly just Alamo Drafthouse and Premiere right now. And then also on the 9th, American Airlines has which is called Snowball Event. And it's basically they have the families of fallen service members. They greet them here in El Paso and then they fly them out to Dallas where they have this big, huge event thanking them for, you know, their relative sacrifices and trying to just, you know, make things a little brighter for the holidays and everything like that. So they said they should have at least, I think, 40 people that are going out, at least to Dallas. And I'm kind of excited, too, because the airport doesn't allow people in costumes for, you know, obvious reasons, too. Yeah. So it actually gives us a rare opportunity to have fun in that kind of environment.
Yeah. Because
we like to do what's called shenanigans. So, like, sometimes we'll go to the mall and then we'll act like we're regular people, even though we have the costumes on. So, like, we'll get on kiddie rides, so we'll act like we're buying stuff and everything. And then, so I'm excited for the airport because we don't get to be in the airport dressed up. So, we could act like we're waiting in the TSA line or something, or we're trying to buy plane tickets. So, I'm curious to see how that plays out. I don't know. It really depends how lenient TSA is.
Yeah. So, what prompted you to get involved? When did you decide to start, to start assembling your costume and to start getting, like, were you involved before you actually had a costume, or how did that go?
Well, my first interest started when I was in school, and, like, I always wanted to dress up as a stormtrooper, so I started researching online, and then I realized how much it cost, and I was like, well, I'm not going to do this right now. But then years went by and time went on, and then I got reinvigorated about all of it. And really what started was there was a sale for the actual costumes themselves, and it was like a good $300 cheaper than what it is. So I just, like, I was hesitant, but then I jumped on it and I was just like, let's go for it. And that's really how it started. And then through Facebook and social media, people that already lived here in El Paso that were part of the Legion reached out to me to be like, hey, you know, there are other guys here that do the same thing. And that's basically how it started.
That's awesome. So how would somebody go about getting involved with the 501st, either by joining it themselves or requesting you guys? Like, what do those two processes look like?
So you don't necessarily need to have a costume to be a part of the group, I would say. We also have what's called handlers. So whenever we have our costumes, our vision's blurred. Like, we only have like a set view. Like, we don't have peripherals or anything. We can't see as well. We can't bend over. So we have people that help us, you know, to prevent us from walking over a trash can or something because we can't see it, which I've actually done before. So. So that's another thing. We have people that basically just help out in that way, or we have people that have skills in other things. So for instance, people have, I don't want to say connections, but that's pretty much what it is, who know people within the city that have charity events that are running things, and they basically say, hey, I know guys that dress up as Star Wars characters. They can come out and, you know, just make it that much more fun and exciting. So there are different ways to get involved, even if you don't have a costume. If you're actually interested in getting costumes, it really depends on what you want to do. So some people ask us, well, what should I do? And it really is, it comes down to you, because it's an investment. It's not too cheap. So you really have to do what you want to do. Like, and then how that works is, say you want to build a stormtrooper. Each group of costumes has its own specific groups also. So stormtroopers have what's called the first FISD, which is the first Imperial Stormtrooper Detachment. And then, like, all the people dress up as Vader, you know, the Emperor, have the Sith Lords Detachment, Bounty Hunters, Boba Fett, and so on. So each one has their own website of forums where you can actually go and inquire about getting, you know, costumes for that specific one or everything. And that's how you would start. You would get it, and then we have, every garrison has a website of their own. Also, most have social media pages, so there's ways to reach out. And so it's not, if as long as you put the effort into research and find it, you can. So,
so it's, let's say, not me personally, because I'm all about the Empire, as my office states. What if I don't want to dress up like bad guys, quote unquote, and I want to dress up like good guys? Is there stuff? Is there something like the 501st for that as well?
Oh yes. Yeah. So there's actually what's called the Rebel Legion. So those are all your good guys. You know, your Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, the Rebel pilots. You know, the Winter Troopers on Hoth or and everything. Clone Troopers, Jedi's, everything like that. So there's a light side, which is all your, all those, and then the 501st is the dark side. And then also we have another organization which is called the Mandalorian Works, which is basically your Boba Fett style, you know, costumes. But that one is very more free range. You can color it however you want. It's not specific to what's seen on screen. They do have requirements still, but it's a lot more customizable to what you want. So I'm sure if you were to Google it right now, you could see all the different varying forms of Mandalorians there are. And it's really amazing what some of these people have done with theirs. And if you, that's the route you want to take too, that's definitely a possibility also.
Yeah, I was, because we saw you guys at El Paso Comic Con, my wife and I, and we saw this little Mandalorian as Ariel.
Oh. Yes, oh, oh, I know.
And then I showed it to Kate and she died. Because it was just
it was
so
adorable.
Cute.
Yeah, I know it's, the guy's name is Bill and that's his daughter.
Oh.
And that's the one, yeah, everybody loves that one.
It's so good.
It's fantastic.
It is.
So yes, and things like that. It's fun at the same time, and you can add to it how you like.
And do you all do a lot of work with like the Rebel Legion and the Mandalorian Mercs as well, or are you all at a lot of the same events or the same charities?
Yes, yeah, so we try to do as much stuff as we can together. Now for the Rebel Legion, there's actually only one member here right now. So, and he's a Jedi and a Fleet Trooper. So the ones on Tantive IV, the ones that are fighting in the beginning of Star Wars. So he's that. So right now, Rebel Legion's just starting out, but, you know, we'll get there. And then as far as Mandalorians, we have some here, we have some in Cruces and other parts of New Mexico. So that's so, and then we have what's called is the Red Sands Patrol, which is a combination of all the groups and the different areas.
Oh, wow.
So it's comprised of all three orgs, and then El Paso, Cruces, and other parts of New Mexico, and Juarez also.
Oh, wow, awesome. So it's safe to say the Empire has a firm hold in El Paso at the moment?
Oh, yes, definitely. We definitely outnumber the good guys, for sure.
Was there...
We like to make fun of our lonely rebel.
So what you're saying is that our personal listeners need to get out there and start dressing like good guys.
No, I don't think so.
It's fine with me, too.
Was there any particular reason you chose a stormtrooper?
I think it's just iconic in itself. Like, everybody knows Darth Vader, of course. But stormtroopers on their own, like, you can't have Vader without stormtroopers. You know, you can't have the Empire without stormtroopers. And it's much easier not to be mistaken for something else. So, for instance, a TIE pilot. Everyone's familiar with TIE pilot. They have the hoses, yep, and everything. They get called Darth Vader all the time.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like blasphemy.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like, an avid fan obviously knows that's a TIE pilot. That's Darth Vader. But, you know, to a child who's seven years old, he's not going to know the difference between the two.
I could definitely see that.
But then you have grown adults do it too, but still.
I was like, I'm pretty sure my grandma would have called it the Star Wars Vader, so.
Yeah. Or we just get called Star Wars in general.
So overall, I guess, honestly, like, how... I'm just going to ask the big question right now, because I really want to know for you, like, why has Star Wars mattered to you so much, and why has the Empire specifically mattered to you? Or you know, just the Stormtrooper?
Well, I grew up with Star Wars from a young age. Like, it was always a part of, like, growing up, from the original movies to toys to the TV shows and all the adaptations, video games. So it was always just a part of my upbringing. And then now, with the new trilogy coming out, it's, like, gone back to full swing, you know? So that's really great, and it's really brought in more fans to the franchise. And then I think as we dress up, it helps build that fandom more. What was the other question? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Why were you called to the Empire specifically?
Well, it even goes, like, when my friend who actually dresses up as Vader, it's the first time you see him in the movie. It's like, who is this big man? You know, like, everybody just stops when he enters the room, you know? And then, honestly, they have all this power. They're just menacing. And then, people always tend to lean towards the good guys because I think that's just how it works. Like, I do like Jedis. Like, I like Mace Windu. I like Obi-Wan. But I think the Empire resonates more to everyone versus, because the good side has all their face characters, their heroes. But the Empire, I think, is more inclusive to everybody because they have their groups. Everybody's together and united at something versus, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. It's more specific versus the Empire is more an umbrella term and embraces everybody.
So when it comes to... costume, because I've been aware of the 501st specifically because, I mean, there were a few times, like, earlier in the 2000s where they were in the news, like, building suits for kids and stuff like that. Like, was the 501st, like, one of the first, like, large Star Wars groups like this?
I mean, I don't know the specifics completely of, like, if it's founding. Like, I know where it originated and how it just basically blew up from that. So I would say yes, but I wouldn't know per se. I've only been in the Legion for 2 years now.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are some members that have been here since that time, really. Like, one of the guys in, I think, Alamogordo or Albuquerque, he's been since the late or early 2000s, like, back when it started. So he would definitely know more. But as far as, like, building costumes for kids, I mean... I wouldn't say that really takes place to my knowledge anymore.
Okay.
Like, I know some adults buy costumes for their kids. Like, I've seen that. But beyond that, I don't know.
I guess also just, like, a personal question. If Lucasfilm said, hey, El Paso 501st, y'all want to come be in the next movie, I will give you, new armor. Will all y'all jump at that right away?
Oh yeah, like, we would be there. We could be there next day. Yeah. We'll figure it out with our work. You don't even have to tell us twice.
Do you know how fast I would try to get in on this? Yeah. Like, how fast I would, like, just go blow my money?
Yeah,
to, like, build the scene. What do I need to do?
Like, I remember when I first saw George Lucas, I was in D.C.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like I wouldn't be someone to freak out over seeing a celebrity. But I saw him in public, and I just, like, lost it. I couldn't hold it together. Like, it was ridiculous. And then I went to Star Wars Celebration, and then he was there. You know, everybody was there. Harrison Ford, Mark, everyone was. And I couldn't contain myself again, but I don't know.
And did you go to Celebration as yourself or with the squad?
From here, there was just me and then the scout who dresses up here in El Paso. At the time, there were some other guys that went, but they weren't done with theirs yet. But they still went, you know. And then we have folks from Cruces who drove, actually, to Florida for it. And then, yeah. So I actually did dress up as my Stormtrooper and my Clone Trooper at the convention. So awesome. That was a long day.
It seems like worth it, though. If you're going to dress up at least once, I would assume that it would have to be at Celebration.
Oh, yeah. And then they take the group photo, also the Legion itself, and it was packed. Like, the whole area was full. And then, yeah, you just see And then I joke with my friend, is like, you guys got to be able to find me in the picture with all the other 100 stormtroopers.
And do you have any other questions?
No, I don't actually. He's.
I mean, I have a whole bunch of like fan questions. I'm just like, how hot is it in a suit? How long does it take to put on? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, I could.
Answer okay, yeah. How hot is it in a suit, and how long does it take to put on?
Okay, well, it depends on the costume, obviously. So a TIE pilot or a scout can take, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, easy, because it's like a flight suit and like a couple pieces and a helmet, mm-hmm. versus Vader, where he has his legs, his boots, his shin guards, his belt, his inner robe, his outer robe, his cape, his shoulder, you know, chest piece, and then everything like that. So it can range from, like, really quick, 10, 15 minutes to 30 minutes. Dang. And then, again, on the costume, you can get really hot or it's perfectly fine. So, like, me, I'm kind of thin, so it helps out, so I don't get too hot. But then For Greg, he wears a Vader. He's always hot.
Oh, gosh.
We're outside in the cold, and he's still hot.
Well, so, with an inner robe and an outer robe.
Yes, and then a cape. So, yeah, it just really depends on the outfit. And then people don't really understand all the pieces that go into it. So, like I was saying beforehand, like, people think we can do all these crazy, like, motions, and we're actually very limited because of how they're made, I guess, and how they're designed. So it kind of limits your movement and your vision.
Which is something I never knew. I did not know that the troopers were just all looks.
Mm-hmm. It's like even the Vader in Empire Strikes Back, the bottom of his mask was glass so that he could see when he was actually fighting Luke Skywalker.
Nice. That seems a little bit necessary. Just a
little bit. There was no way he would have been able to fight him.
Yeah, and they roll deep, too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this second to plug how I thought... So for our listeners who don't know or haven't heard, I got married in October, and we had a legit Star Wars wedding. And I've known about the 501st for a long time. No matter what convention I'm at, the 501st is always there. You know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, or in the late 2000s when I was going to premieres for Star Wars, like, the 501st was always there. I requested that they come to my wedding thinking, you know, we're going to get two TKs and I'll be happy. Six of them came, you know, and when he says that they come with a lot of stuff, they came with, like, trunkfuls. Especially Vader. Yes. Came with, like, his own...
Yeah, two, I think.
Yeah, two trunkfuls of stuff. So they put in a lot of work, and I'm super, super appreciative of you guys coming. Because, you know, we weren't a charity thing. Like, we just thought, you know, we're going to get two people. But then we had, like, I had three people... The week before the wedding, I had three people contact me, asking me, you know, how many people do you want there, you know... And all this stuff. And all they asked was we make a charitable donation after the wedding. So we did. And they came. And having them walk down the aisles, obviously I'll never ask them to do that again, because I can just see how difficult it was because they can't see anything. So it was definitely not my best idea.
Yeah, I took a step and I almost fell. And I was like, I felt like my life was over because I felt like I was falling forever.
Hey, the pictures look amazing.
I got that on video.
It's very intimidating.
Oh, no, that wedding was awesome. You had all that stuff. It was great.
So,
and the best thing about it, I think one of my biggest things, you know, when we get into it, but why those a little bit later, like, the reason why I like this organization so much and why I want to be a part of it so bad myself is that we saw you guys literally the next week at Rogue One at the Fountains.
Oh, yes.
And Greg's wife, I saw Greg's wife. She was like, why do you look so familiar? Like, oh, yeah, we were at your wedding. How's it going? When are you going to join up? And then we saw, I think I saw Jaime as well. And even one of the TIE pilot who wasn't able to make it, you know, he saw me and he's like, oh, hey man, so sorry I wasn't able to make it to your thing. So, like, I met them a week ago and they still, you know, were still nice and still receptive and asking us to join, which I want to do so bad. So we really appreciate, as an El Paso, we really appreciate you guys, because you guys are just about everything I've ever seen, like, pop culture wise here in the city.
Yeah, and you see that. People freak out for Star Wars. I've noticed here. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's, sometimes it's not even kids. It's the adults. they're the ones that go crazy over it. Like, we shot, I wish I had the video. We shot a video downtown. I don't know if you guys are familiar way back when there was the Running Man Challenge. Mm-hmm. We did that downtown. And again, as stormtroopers, we can't lift our legs very high, so we just look like we're awkwardly running. And the entire time we're trying to tell people, no, we can't take pictures right now. We're trying to get this done, maybe afterwards. But yeah, so it's always the adults, you know, like, oh, you know, like, let's take a picture and stuff. And the kids are like, I don't want to take a picture.
You know, that makes a lot of sense because I kept telling people, like, yeah, when they were asking me, like, hey, what do you guys want, like, what do you want us to do at the wedding? I was like, oh, just hang around, take some pictures with the kids. But I'm pretty sure all of, like, my aunts and uncles who came and my grandma who came dressed up took way more pictures with you guys than any of the kids did. I can definitely see the adults freaking out way more. For sure.
And you see it. Those people are sometimes are ruthless. Like, it gets to the point where this is where handlers get important. So they have to, like, really just organize the crowd, essentially. Because, like, we've been to Premier and Bassett, and the crowds have gotten ginormous to the point where the handlers literally needed to direct, this is the line, you're next, and everything like that. Because otherwise, people just crowd us, and we can't move, we can't do anything. And that's when it gets bad. So.
Makes a lot of sense.
Also, water. Water is very important.
If you can't move, I'm guessing that the stormtroopers we see dancing, like, in those videos, like, aren't, like, regulation, like, stormtrooper outfits. No.
Yeah, so I know the one that I keep getting tagged in Facebook and people keep showing me is, I think, is America's Got Talent, whichever one it is.
Yeah.
Where they're, like, doing flips and everything like that. They're the right costumes, but yes, they're missing a lot of pieces. And they're, like, not joined together the way they should be, so which allows them to do flips and everything. Like, it's still impressive, don't get me wrong. But without, since they're missing pieces, that allows them to do those things.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can rig it to where you get a lot of good movement, so you're not super stiff. Like, before, when I first tried mine on, I couldn't move at all. I was, like, walking like a duck. I was waddling and everything. And just over time, you learn where you need to, like, trim it at and cut it at so that it moves more naturally and everything like that. Yeah. And that's just, like, part of the process, too, which I think is similar to, like, just cosplaying in general. Like, you start at a certain point, you make it. The first time you wear it, you're excited because you have it, but then over time, you slowly build on it and tweak it to where it looks nicer, where it fits you better, and everything like that. And you have to repair it, too. It's a constant struggle.
On that same note, I mean, you already have two, you know, costumes. That's two more than any of us have. Are you planning on doing anything else new now with, like, these new movies coming out, with all, like, the new animated series, all the new comics coming out? Is there anything that's, like, catching your eye?
There's two that I want to do right now, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Darth Vader comics. Darth Vader has a protocol droid that's black. That's like his torture droid and everything. He's awesome. I love him. I love his like attitude and everything. That one I definitely want to do, but that one is... So it's basically making a black C-3PO. So I've looked into it. There's a Facebook group that people just build it and like make the parts. So it's very hard to come by and it's very expensive. So I was like, well, maybe down the road. But then right now with what me and two of my other friends were talking about doing was for Battlefront, the Inferno Squad. So, you know, their outfits. So the three black TIE pilots with the red on them. That's what we're talking about doing right now. So for me, I wanted to do Del, which is, he's like the one with all the pouches and everything like that. And he has a sniper rifle. That's the one for me that I want to do. And then we have a girl that's going to do Iden, and then another guy that's going to do Gideon, so...
That's awesome.
That's the next one I'm planning on doing. So, gotta start saving up for that. One of the guys, two actually, they're hoping to get it done before the premiere, but we're running short on time, is the First Order Stormtroopers. So, they would be the first ones that we would have here in El Paso, and then one of them is looking at becoming the executioner. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's the one with the black on the white. Yeah. And he's like, he has like that I don't even know what it's called. Yeah. But so he's working towards making that one. So hopefully we have to keep bugging him, but hopefully he gets it done by then before the movie comes out.
That's awesome.
The Inferno Squad one gets me giddy.
Yeah.
Because I would lose my mind if I saw that. Because I love the Inferno Squad book, and I just finished the campaign. So I would, like, lose my mind if I saw that.
So Adrian would be boxing people out.
Yeah, I would be boxing little kids out. But you don't even know, little kid. You can't even read yet.
You don't understand this.
It would be great for me because my two customs I have right now, I can't kneel down. I can't bend over. Mm-hmm. So it would be the first costume I have where I can actually do all that. So it would be a new experience for me.
That's awesome. So why don't you let everybody know where they can find why don't you let everybody know where they can find the 501st? Is it the West Texas Squad of Star Garrison? Correct? Okay. Why don't you let them know where they can find your group, where they can find you, and how they can contribute?
Okay, so you have Star Garrison, which is basically just stargarrison.com. Easy. And that connects us with all the squads. So if you make a request there, it gets routed to us, and then we go from there. And if it's here in El Paso, I contact them and everything like that. For El Paso specifically, we actually, on Facebook, we have what's called the Red Sands Patrol. So you can go on Facebook and just search it. We have a page and a group itself. So if you're really adamant and committed to making a Star Wars costume, we can let you in the group, and we can basically take you under our wing. And you can learn about whatever custom it is. So we have people that have Vader, clone troopers, stormtroopers, scout troopers, rebels, mandos. Like, there's always somebody here who can probably help you out. And if not, we can get you in touch with a person that can. So definitely for here in El Paso, Cruces, in this area, the Red Sands Patrol on Facebook, reach out to us there. And then if not myself, then one of the others will definitely do that.
And where can they find you if they want to look at your stormtrooper pictures or anything like that? I don't know if you have a Twitter or anything, or if you want that.
Well, we have the public Facebook page right now. It's really new, so we're still kind of like figuring it out and playing with it. We did have an Instagram, but I don't think we've really touched it in forever.
Sounds familiar.
I can't run everything, guys.
Yeah, so it's like, right now it's just trying to manage a Facebook page. It's still new, like we only got like 100 and something likes, but we only made it like 2 or 3 weeks ago, so we're just trying to like promote it and everything like that, just as an outlet so people know how to come in contact with us. Because before, it would just be, oh, we met you here, mm-hmm. then we keep your contact info, and then that's it, and then we just communicate ourselves. But really trying to make it more accessible to people that or just interested, like, maybe we want them to come out, but we don't know how to get in touch with them. That's why we made the Facebook page, so that it'd be a little bit easier. Because before, it's like trying to figure it out. And then, oh, we saw them here, then that's how we got to know them. Just trying to make it more, what's the word?
Accessible.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. Accessible.
Yeah, I will say, like, because when we were looking at places to move, I selfishly, like, looked to see if there was 501st garrisons in the area back when I first graduated and we didn't know where we were going. So when he mentioned the 501st website at the very beginning, like, that website has everything you need to know and helped me find, like, where I wanted to live if they had a 501st garrison around there, so.
Yes, because for the past couple years, we only really started growing the past couple years. Because I want to say about 5-6 years ago, there wasn't anyone in the 501st here in El Paso. But just in the past 2 years alone, we've gotten up to 11-12 members for El Paso.
Nice.
So I think it's just a demonstration that we're growing here, I think. Because most people, you know, Houston has some, Dallas has a lot in that whole area. And that's why West Texas Squad is actually comprised of Lubbock, Midland, and then us, just because of the sheer number wise, there's not a whole lot mm-hmm. of us. So, but right now we're growing, definitely. And then we have new people that have introduced themselves to us just recently who are talking about making costumes. So
that's awesome. And thank you so much for, you know, taking the time out of your day to, you know, talk with us about the 501st, because I always assault you guys with selfies and trying to get you to take pictures with me as opposed, and so I haven't actually gotten to, like, really get to talk to somebody about everything that goes on with it. I usually just try to get as many pictures as I can. And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
What do you want your outro music to be?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the big question.
We let our guests pick our outro music.
Oh, okay. Let me think.
This is always the question that gets every guest.
I would say Duel of Fates from episode one.
Ooh, okay. Write that down.
Just make sure you do 15 seconds or Lucas is going to come find us in our beds.
It's not even Lucas anymore. It's Disney. Mickey Mouse is going to come. Door.
Vader Mickey's going to come get us.
Okay, everyone. So now it's time for our last thoughts and responses to the interview we just had. Matt, you want to start?
Sure. First, I want to thank our guest, Latrell, for coming on. It was very awesome to hear from them for the 501st, I believe is how it is. I want to say it was actually cool to learn and figure out that they, much as they like are a charitable organization, they do not actually accept any money, and they literally just do everything off of like volunteer to raise money for everybody, and they don't accept anything at all. So it's really awesome because, as he kind of he'd come out and say it, but pretty much you could allude to it, it's all volunteer work, and they don't get anything other than the enjoyment of like seeing people's faces and all the people they interact with. And I thought that was really cool. So they don't have to worry about doing anything. And the fact that they literally come out to small events. Because he talked about, obviously Adrian talked about his wedding.
Are you calling Adrian's wedding small?
I was going to allude to the other wedding that they went to. They said was even smaller than Adrian's. So it's for everybody. And I guess out of all the Star Wars things, I guess I never really thought about the whole way he said he was drawn to the Empire because it's inclusive, where they're actually, I guess, depending on obviously who you talk to, they're portrayed as like the bad guys, but they seem to be the ones that are most inclusive overall. At least I found that very interesting from him. But it was great to hear from him, and thanks again, Woodrow, for coming out.
Yeah, no, I've had a fascination with the 501st for a really long time. When I did my undergraduate thesis, I wrote about how the 501st and the good deeds they do is a way of using Star Wars as your moral compass and using it to do good things. And I've always been enamored with them. Like, I also really like to just run up to them and take pictures with them. And now I realize that may not be the best thing to do, and I should wait to get an all clear from the handler. But I also really appreciate that, like you said, they don't take any money. I didn't know that they didn't get paid to go to, like, personal events. Like, I obviously knew that, like, with charities, people, like, I guess that people would bring them in and they would raise money. But I didn't know that when you ask them to come for you, all your payment to them is just a payment to a charitable organization. And that, to me, is really, really great because, like you said, Matt, they literally get nothing but the joy from other people and the joy they have being in that Star Wars community and just making it stronger by just being there. Like, I kind of don't know what else to say. I was just surprised by that because I guess in the back of my head I always thought, well, you know, I bet it costs a whole bunch to get them to show up to your party or, you know, all these different – I thought that it was kind of unattainable, and it's like, no, we do this so that you can, you know, do good for others. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like I said before, like, I didn't think they were going to show up because I've known all the stuff they do, at least locally for us. And like, it's a global thing, right? So, like, he was just giving his experiences just from the El Paso one. And if that small team is able to do all the things that they do in my city, I can't even imagine, like, what the garrisons look like in some of these bigger cities. Because I know meeting the guys from Austin when we were at Austin Comic Con and, you know, events like that, they were also super nice too. So I have to imagine that being a completely volunteer thing, they all have to have some semblance of like how this garrison is here. I have to, in my head, think that all the ones around the world are like that too. So they're super, super great organization and different than anyone that we've covered so far in our Missions That Matter series.
Yeah, because before we've done, I don't know if it wasn't definitely intentional, but we've been doing video game charities.
Yeah.
So this is, and it kind of goes back to our cosplay episode. Like, for all the cosplayers that I know, like, they do it for the joy of seeing people. They don't do it for the money. They don't do it to go, like, compete to win contest money. They just do it to see people happy. And, like, this is the antithesis of, like, what you can do with dressing up, making kids who don't stand up go stand up and see you. Kids who don't talk finally talk because you're there. Like, that's just amazing.
Yeah. And I definitely want to reach out to, like, the Rebel Legion and the, you know, the Mandalorian Mercs and, like, get their experiences too. But it was really awesome to hear that all of them try to work together, like, as much as they can. So if you're listening to this and you're in El Paso and you want to get involved, go get involved. Because, I mean, this it sounds like a really great community to just be a part of.
Yeah, I would say just even to that fact.
Go get involved, exactly. Because apparently they were found in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Which is actually a very interesting fact to me. Of all places.
I think it's proof that everybody everywhere loves Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, I'm kind of driven to kind of look into it more myself. Not for the 501st, but I really want to make, Poe's mom? I really want to dress up as her. Like, really, really bad. So
that'd be cool.
That's
and, you know, for there, I don't know if we mentioned it, but there's also like an R2 builders group that all they do is just build working droid models. So when we were at El Paso Comic Con, they had like two R2 units that were running around, you know, fully functional, arm flaps coming out and stuff too. So even if you don't want to dress up, but you're just really good with your hands, you can also do that too. So something it seems like there's something for everybody, because like you said, like, you don't have to dress up. Like, you can go be a handler, you could help fix the costumes. There's something for everyone, it seems like.
Yeah, and two, there's the saber guilds as well, where they train to, you know, they pretty much do the same thing, but they train to, like, do reenactments of fights with their sabers for, you know, for a similar cause. I mean, power of Star Wars, man. Like, this is a great way to kick off our Star Wars specials.
Yeah, I'm definitely, like, this is definitely hyped me up, for sure, and hopefully we can bring Luttrell back for some of our other episodes, or even anyone from the 501st who wants to come do some episodes with us. It'd be great to have them on, because we know who loves Star Wars more than people who dress up as Star Wars characters to go make kids, you know, smile. Like, what's deeper fandom than that?
Yeah. I also now have the answer as to why stormtroopers miss all the time, and it's because they can't move in their suits.
Yeah, like the whole reason why the guy in the New Hope that bumps his head when he's like running in is because he can't see. Like, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Let's go dress up as people and go make kids happy.
So, as always, you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC, and come by our website, ButWhyThoughPodcast.com. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at OhMyMythRandir. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReerUiz93.
Matt?
And you can find me on Twitter at datm18, DATTM18.
Okay, bye.
Bye.